Welcome to In Season, where we explore connections between people, land, plants, and wildlife here in the Lower Columbia Pacific region. Today, I am talking about one of the coolest school garden projects I think I've ever seen here in Clatsop County on the Oregon coast. And it is happening out in Jewell. And the person behind it, the person who got this whole thing started, is a dear friend of mine, Martha Stevens. Welcome, Martha.
Thank you.
I know, it feels so funny. Martha and I are old friends, and so that we're having this formality seems a little crazy, but we're being professional here. We're just going to have a conversation about the school and the school garden. And I wish that I could show it to you listeners. I wish I could describe it. And I'm going to let Martha do that a little bit because I want to find out what inspired you to get this garden started and how long ago did the garden begin?
Well, I think the inspiration came from many years of farming with Teresa Retzloff and other friends up on Whidbey Island, and Bill Young just down the road in Olney, and Mike Tierney, who also lived in Olney for quite a few years, who I also worked for. So that's where my love of farming really began. Thank you, Teresa.
You were the most amazing farmer and farmhand ever, and I really appreciate what you've done with what you learned from all these different mentors that you've had, because you've taken it and then just transformed this piece of land into something really cool.
Thanks. Yeah, so that was kind of the beginning. I mean, I definitely go back to my childhood a little bit with, you know, farming and doing many projects with my dad, which was pretty awesome. But it kind of took me a while to get back to that. And then I started at Jewell School 4 years ago, and my child started kindergarten there. And so I ended up getting my sub license and my bus driving license. And so I just started working in the school, and I had never really been around like kids in the education realm. I had been around a lot of kids, but maybe not in such a structured way.
Uh-huh. What was different about it?
Well, like watching other people's kids was kind of a free-for-all. We'd go to Fort Stevens like 3 times a week, or go down the Riverwalk in Astoria every day, or, you know, it was just not structured. I just had a lot of freedom to like show kids things, or, you know, work in the garden with little babies is not school age kids.
Yeah.
So that's how I got into the school. And then they hired me that second year full time. And I was still, I drove bus full time. And then they gave me a job called the wellness coordinator that did not really have any guidelines other than coordinating wellness for children. And so I definitely thrive in self-motivation and figuring out how to wellness coordinate with children. And so one of the first things that got sent to me was this grant from Oregon Department of Education. And it was due in like 3 days, and it was $10,000. And so I just had never written a grant. So I called a couple people. And I think I called you and asked for some guidance, and another person that used to run an FFA program in Astoria, and they just, you and others were just like, go for it, just try writing it and see what happens. And so I did, and Oregon Department.
It was for a garden.
Mm-hmm. That's what I wrote it for, because I thought, what better way to coordinate wellness than to have kids gardening? Because it's just such a beautiful way of experiencing the world. And you also get to provide yourself with healthy food. So, yeah. And then we got the grant. So that's how
I remember that. And it was so exciting.
Started. Yeah. Like I definitely was scrambling to kind of get some pieces together in 3 days, but, it worked out. And so that really started the garden at Jewell School. And I don't think my administrators were quite ready or quite like understanding what that meant. But once the money came in, then it was just go time.
Yeah. And you picked an area. So Jewell is, it's a rural school district, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of land around the school. So there was just some sort of open pasture area near some barns.
Yeah.
And you just plotted out a certain amount of land.
Yeah. That was definitely the lead up, was figuring out how much to fence, because it's like a lot of elk are using that as their transportation highway. And so we knew we had an elk fence, just like you do here at 46 North. And so I didn't want to do anything too big. And I wanted to make sure I could get everything that I needed for the garden to succeed in that first year within that $10,000. And as much as I'd like to believe gardens cost less than that, I very quickly, after doing a budget, realized that that was the bare minimum of how we were going to scrape by the first year. And we did. And it was great. And we had, I don't know, probably 16 volunteers show up for that elk fence build. And then we just kept kind of scraping on to get all the rows in. And yeah, it came together slowly that first year and just continued to build.
One of the things I loved hearing you talk about that first year was how, I mean, the focus of the garden was obviously gardening, growing food crops, helping kids explore that, but you also had other classes get involved in the garden project. Can you talk about how, say, like the math class or other science classes got involved in construction of the garden?
Yeah, so the math class that year was really, I would say, heavy on the backbone of the structure, also like the pricing of different, depending on spacing for fencing.
So they were calculating this for you?
Yeah, in the math class. I don't know if I can say my friend's name that did this, the math, can I say that?
I think you can, yeah.
Yeah, Connor Veit, props to Connor Veit. He just 100% was in. So yeah, they laid out the fencing. They came out and did the Pythagorean theorem in the field. It was just so cool to watch it all happen. And then we just did an aerial view of it, and it's just perfectly lined out. The kids did the math so well. And then with that, then they went and did like the breakdown of the rows and the aisles. So they also brought that in and kind of decided how many we were going to have and the length and all that good stuff. So yeah, that was a really cool project with Connor. And then the shop class came in and they did some of the bracing for the fencing. They built some really cool gates that have not been installed because of the fencing, but they're ready to be installed in a different project because they weren't going to work out for that one. And then the science class has come in and done like pH testing and things like that with the kids to kind of know where we're at. And we've done that with Joe DeWeese a couple years. So
I love that it's incorporating all these other classes as well. So you have, so do all of the kids in the school come out to the garden at some point? I mean, are they all getting to engage in the school garden?
Yes. So at this point, probably every single student has worked out there at some capacity in the last 3 years. There are now, you know, classes every day for hours at an hour, depending on the grade level. Each day that the kids can opt into taking it in high school, middle school, they just have it for an hour a day. And then the elementary kids, depending on the grade level, they have it once or twice a week. And it ranges from a half an hour to an hour, depending on the age. So
you're really having to come up with curriculum or ways for kids to engage for all different ages.
Yes.
That's
wild.
Challenging to go from, I mean, because what engages children and young adults is very different over the ages.
Yes, definitely.
Is there an age group that you feel like is really responding well to the garden?
Yes. I mean, they all respond well, but I think the most excitement I see is in the middle school kids. I don't feel like they complained like one day. And we went outside 3 or 4 days a week all year, all through winter, every day.
Rain or shine.
Get your boots on, get your rain jacket on, and they just thrive out there. They are, you know, middle schoolers still have that excitement of like elementary and lots of joy. There's like not much jading in their life yet. And they're also just like really hard workers. And so we get so much done in the garden, and it's just a beautiful thing. And there's a lot of play that happens in the garden. And so they get to really embrace some of that play still, with certain expectations, of course, but
structured play.
Yeah.
What kind of crops are you growing? What kind of things have you had success with, or have you tried things and thought, oh no, not that?
Yeah, definitely. Strawberries, amazing. And we freeze those, and then the kids get them in their school lunches all year. Currently we have a really awesome crop of broccoli, tomatoes, carrots, cucumber, zucchini, summer squash, like yellow crookneck. We have a ton of pumpkins that the kids got to take home last year, and we are doing the same this year. We have some delicata. We had a great crop of garlic. We got our seed from Teresa Retzloff. Maybe you've heard of her. It's beautiful.
I'm so glad that worked out. It's always hard when you send things out into the world. You're like, oh, I hope it does well. I'm really excited you had a good crop.
Yeah.
So, and with a lot of the food, you know, one of the things that I love that you were telling me about is that you're bringing it into the school kitchen. And because Jewel is one of the few schools in this area, I think, that still cooks a prepared meal, right, for kids.
Yes.
For lunch. And so what's the response in the kitchen?
Well, I feel like right when I started this project, I engaged Heidi Foster, who's been at Jewel School for like 30 years. And she was like full joy, so excited about it. And anything I bring her, she will just cook and or figure out how to prep it and then put it out for the kids. So it's been a really easy thing to navigate with her. I feel really lucky to be working with her. Because she just is really creative.
And she's able to take whatever you're bringing in,
yeah,
and somehow figure out a way to incorporate it into meals,
yep,
that the kids are served for lunch.
Yep, and she's just very welcoming. So when those kids come in, because we've harvested food, you know, she just makes sure, I mean, she's happy they're there, and she's happy for the food, and she's very welcoming. And that makes it really easy to walk into somebody's kitchen and not feel like you're stepping on their toes, you know?
Absolutely.
So I really appreciate her.
How do the kids respond? Do you think that they're more interested or willing to eat certain things if they know that they grew that in their school garden?
Oh, yeah. Big time. I mean, there are so many kids that just PU so many vegetables before we go out. And then I ask them to do no thank you bites if they want to. And many of them will, and their takeaway is just that they've never had whatever, the broccoli or the cucumber or what was something? Oh, beets. You know, a lot of them had to have beets. And I think their initial reaction was just not great. And then watching a kid that said he did not like broccoli pull a little tasty tendril off of a plant and stick it in his mouth.
Just like, standing out there in
yes,
the garden.
Yes. Like, it's not like I have to prod them anymore. They just will
graze.
Yes. And that is success, because yeah. I do know that the flavor off of fresh food is just totally different. And so when you see a kid picking that as a snack, it feels like success.
It's huge success. And I think, you know, for adults too, a lot of times they don't realize that some of the veg that you're getting in supermarkets, it's kind of old.
Yes.
You know, and that's just the way that our food system works. A lot of times, you know, it can, you know, it's harvested, it goes into storage, it's chilled, transport, you know, sometimes hundreds of miles before it gets to the store, and then it might sit at the store for a week before you buy it and take it home. And so a lot of the flavor has diminished.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that it's not still good for you, it's not still a good thing to eat, but it just, the flavor isn't really at its peak. Whereas if you're standing in a school garden, and I love this so much. And for those of you that are listening to In Season today, if you're just joining me, I am talking with Martha Stevens, and she is an instructor out at Jewel School in sort of the eastern side of Clatsop County. And it's a small community out there, and she got a garden program started out there. They have a beautiful garden, and it's now incorporated into all of the kids in the school come through and do some kind of garden curriculum during their time there. And it's just the coolest project. One other thing that you got started that I'm really glad I got to see a before and after, because I've gone out to visit the garden a couple of times now, and there was a courtyard in the middle of the school. And I remember you showing it to me and saying, I really want to put some raised beds in here. And when I first saw it, it was just basically concrete. Mm-hmm. It was just a big inner concrete courtyard. And maybe it had some benches in there, picnic tables, I don't know. But it was just kind of, it was kind of grim. Mm-hmm. And I just went out and visited this spring, and you have built all these raised beds. They're very cool, and they were full of tomato plants and lettuce, and you'd had the kids paint a huge mural on one of the walls of trees. The space was just totally transformed. It was totally transformed. What's the response to that been?
It's been really positive. Yeah. I think it makes the whole school feel...
Because you see it better. As you're walking down the hall, there's like glass windows, and you walk past this courtyard, and it's not this grim little concrete courtyard anymore. It is a thriving garden.
Yeah, it's really
so
nice.
So you've really seen response. And are kids allowed to go sit out there? Are they allowed to hang out? Or
yeah, they, like, if they have a adult, you know, with them. Mm-hmm. But we do gardening classes out there for the little kids now, because the upper garden was just a little too far for little legs. Mm-hmm. And so we do all of our elementary school garden out there. And then, yeah, I mean, there's two other classrooms that have doors to the courtyard, and they can use it whenever they want. And then there are two outer doors that anyone can access from the school. So it's open to anybody, and it is a really comfortable space. Feels really good.
It's amazing how in such a short space of time, you can completely transform a space. And the whole experience of being in it just feels completely different. And the mural, so who painted the mural?
That was my senior class last year, plus one junior. I had 7 students, and they got it done in like a month. They kind of went through some planning with me within the first week of school, and then they worked on it for a solid month. It's so beautiful.
And it's trees. It's a beautiful mural of trees and
Saddle Mountain in the background. Yeah. And then the whole school, we haven't finished yet, are doing their handprints on the bottom as roots to kind of, as a pact, try and make that happen, you know, working together and setting a foundation, because I don't know, it just feels good to do that.
Yeah, it's a wonderful way of building community in a school and kind of tying everyone together. And, you know, I mean, those are your senior class, so they've now graduated and they're moving on. But, you know, if they come back to the school, if they have kids who end up coming to the school, what a great legacy.
Definitely.
To have. So one of the other things that I want to talk about, another legacy that I think you've been instrumental in bringing to Jewel, is that Jewel has had for a number of years... I'm going to forget the official name of the CTE.
Oh, the construction CTE. Technical Education.
So Career Technical Education, what is that?
So it's just a kind of different track for high school students to be able to learn hands-on skills and get more of like a problem-solving education.
Would it be like taking shop or auto shop in a high school when those are still off? So that's the kind of career training path.
You're kind of getting them ready for a career when they exit high school, as opposed to like going into university or college.
Yeah, which is, I'm so excited I'm really excited that those programs are having a resurgence and that people are excited about them, because, I mean, speaking as somebody who did go to university but probably would have been just as happy, if not happier, going to some sort of trade school, I really wish that had been more of an option for me at the time.
Me too.
I think that I mean, university was great, and I learned a lot of really cool things there, many of which like don't really apply to what I'm doing right. Well, they do apply, I shouldn't say that, and I got a lot out of it, and I don't mean to say that that's not a good thing, but I think especially as university education has become so expensive and out of reach for a lot of people, like feeling like you can still gain the foundations of a great career in high school, I think is very exciting.
Yeah.
So what has happened now in Jewell? So you had a CTE program there mm-hmm. that was largely geared towards construction, right?
Yes.
But it has now been transformed. And starting this year, it's now going to be a new program that is more agriculture. Mm-hmm. It's an umbrella of agriculture. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we transferred it to an ag with a focus in AFNR, which is agriculture, food, and natural resources. And so that was also through some guidance of the FFA advisor at Astoria, Tess. And I think it's a really great move because it allows us to umbrella all of these other programs like construction and welding. We're going to bring that back in within the next year. And agriculture. So it just allowed us more flexibility with what we want to offer the kids. And they get credit. And so if they have 3 years in a CTE program, then they can walk out with a CTE certificate, which is pretty cool, leaving high school. And you can, you know, show to whatever career you're going into that you've worked for 3 years on a project that I think is huge for an employer to know that you have some skills and you've been working towards something and you're not just going to walk in pretty green. You're going to walk in with at least something.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting. And I think that transition, it, you know, took a while to get here and we're just really happy to have it.
I loved talking with you about it because it, I mean, and thinking about it under the terms of agriculture, because I think as anybody who works in agriculture knows, agriculture is just not just about raising animals or growing plants. Mm-hmm. You do need construction skills. You do need welding skills. You do need all kinds of different skills involved in running an agricultural enterprise that then could take you off in lots of different directions. You don't have to use your welding to fix your tractor or some other implement. You know, you can go on to become a professional welder and do other things, but just learning those skills.
Definitely.
As a kid, I would love to know how to weld.
Yeah.
That is one of those kind of things where it kind of scares me. And I think maybe if I'd learned it when I was 15, 16, when I was sort of fearless about things,
yeah.
I would be more like, I could be a welder now.
Yeah.
As opposed to now, I just feel like, it scares me. So I have like, you know, I'm excited for these kids to get
too.
Exposed to this too.
Me too.
And so they don't, I mean, if they're interested in some of these things, they can still participate. It doesn't have to be necessarily that my track is going to be, I'm going to be a produce farmer.
Right. No, there's a lot of different things you can do with farming. there's a lot of different things. So, yeah, it's just going to really be dependent on each kid. And, you know, we're going to start an FFA chapter in Jewell, which I'm very excited about. And I'm learning a lot through this process. And FFA is very much about student-led activities. And so these kids are going to have to kind of figure out what their drive is, you know, come junior, senior year. And then they are going to be, you know, making their project and doing the research and documenting and presenting. And I think that's just an incredible skill set. All of those things are going to lend to a human that's going to walk out at 18 and be able to create and be imaginative and problem solve and hopefully love, you know, looking in and researching things, which I think we want all of our kids to be able to have those qualities.
Curiosity is such a huge
yes.
thing, I think, going forwards in life. And I mean, to me, that's one of the things I feel so excited about, that this is all coming through a garden and a garden project, because I feel like gardening, even if you're not that interested in gardening, which some people just are not, and I get that. And I mean, I don't understand you, but I get it. No, I do. I am married to someone who is not that into gardening. I mean, he's, you know, he can appreciate it, but he's not one to go out and get his hands dirty. But there are so many different things you have to understand and solve and discover when you're trying to garden successfully and trying to grow a crop. And a disaster is also a success because it's teaching you something.
Yes.
And do you see that kind of curiosity happening in kids as they engage in the garden and wonder like, well, why is this working and this isn't?
Yeah, I see, I would say like a quarter of the kids really able to problem solve. And I think that drives me even more because I want the other three quarters by the time they're either in high school or moving out of high school to have that ability, that skill. Because it's really what gets you going as an adult, and it will move you through your life in, you know, pretty successful, positive manner. But I think that our kids need some help with that right now. I think that they need to be able to make those mistakes and not have someone can be there lending information and advice and like thoughts about what they could try, but they really have to be able to make those mistakes and learn from them in order to really cement those pathways in their brain. And it doesn't happen overnight. No. But if we as adults in their life, as teachers, are not telling them so much of how they should be doing everything, but allowing them to move throughout their own creativity and their own whatever they're excited about and make those mistakes, they're going to want to fix those mistakes because they're into whatever it is. And I am not going to provide that by telling them everything they have to do. It's just not going to happen. They have to have the curiosity.
Well, and I feel like gardening is such a great teacher for that because you just always make mistakes. Things
definitely
always go wrong. And sometimes it has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
But like every year, you know, a new pest is going to show up, an insect, some plants are going to thrive, some plants are not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a mystery every year you've got to solve about, yep, well, why is this plant behaving in this way? It didn't do that last year. What's different this year? And the questions you have to ask, I feel like, I mean, I do that every year. I'm doing that this year. I have some things happening this year on my farm, and I'm not sure why mm-hmm. that's happening. And so you have to go through this whole checklist and try and understand. And those are great skills for any kid to have. And to me, learning that through a garden is such a great hands-on way to do it.
Yeah, that's pretty special.
Do you enjoy getting out there and being in the garden?
Oh, it's like my favorite thing in the world. I love it. Yeah. It's just, it's the best thing I think I've ever done, other than I get to do it with my own child. So that's like really top notch.
I feel like this conversation has just flown by. If you've been listening, I've been talking to Martha Stevens, and she's, coordinating the school garden out at Jewell School. She's also going to help run this new ag program. And it's exciting things happening at this small school out in the eastern part of Clatsop County, but they're doing some really amazing transformative things. If people want to find out more, maybe learn more, can they contact you, Martha?
Yeah. My email is marthas@jewellk12.org, or you can look the website up, which is jewellk12.org. Yeah, I think it's
perfect.
Yeah, great.
Thank you so much. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Martha.
Thank you.